Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street. Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for another opportunity to come together in fellowship, to study your word, to read your word, to be your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, that I would clearly state those things that we need to hear so that we can continue to grow from faith to faith. Father, we thank you that we have power, dominion, and authority over Satan and his demonic forces. So we remind Satan right now that he's defeated and under our feet. Satan, you have no place here, so you must leave. You cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, as always, we're going to be very careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of our Savior and soon returning King, Jesus the Christ. And the people of God say, Amen. All right, family, we are continuing with our teaching entitled, The Battle in Your Mind, Keeping Sexually Pure. Last week, we finished principle number 3, and we're about to start on principle number 4 when our time ran out. Therefore, today we will examine principle number 4, which is a look into our past will help us to understand our present situation. Again, a look into our past will help us to understand our present situation. I also want to go over again my admonition to our youth to pay close attention to this principle, so that they do not make the same mistakes we did and get caught up in ungodly living. Young people, if you haven't already started, start today making a habit of doing right and not wrong, because what you do today will affect your future. For my mature listeners, please, God loves you, so don't fall into Satan's condemnation. Our Heavenly Father has forgiven all of our sins in Jesus. But we must do a self-examination so that we don't continue repeating our sins, but instead live for Christ in holiness. All right, listener, we started this teaching on July 4th. So if this is your first time listening in or you missed any of the airings, please go to our website at kccfc.net. to hear the previous radio programs now archived under our radio broadcast page. All right, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 12 through 14. I will be quoting from the Living Bible unless otherwise stated. Let's begin principle number 4. A look into our past will help us to understand our present situation. I want to make this little note before we go to Philippians, because I have heard young and adults ask these kinds of questions. Why am I in this awful situation? How did I end up in this defeated life I find myself in? Well, the answer can be as simple as asking ourselves, What ungodly choices have we been making to bring us to our present state? Always remember that we have a free will and Satan can tempt us, but we cannot force anyone, he cannot force anyone, especially Christians, to do wrong. We can and should say no when he comes with his clever deception to steal, kill, and destroy us. Again, family, we have a free will. And yes, Satan will tempt us, and he is quite persuasive, but we do not have to fall into the deception because he cannot force us to do anything. We must still say yes to sin or no to sin. And that's our job as Christians. We must say no when the temptations come. But we can rest assured if we are reading and studying and applying God's word to our life that we will be fortified to say no when Satan comes. All right, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse number 12. I don't mean to say I am perfect. Paul is speaking, and he's giving a letter to the church in Philippi, and he's letting them know, I'm giving you these few words to encourage you, not because I'm perfect, but because I've learned some things. And that's what I'm saying to you folks today. Those of us that have been in the Christian lifestyle, have been operating according to God's word, we know that we were sinners served by grace just like everyone else. But we are thankful for what the Lord has showed us in his word and what we have applied to our lives to show others that it is possible to live a life of holiness, to live a life in Jesus, to do his word and receive the benefits from there. So again, verse number 12 says, I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. That's our goal. That's our objective, to continue to grow in the things of God. Verse 13, no, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be, but I'm bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Ah, here we go. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. All right, so here we hear from a man of God who's letting us know, no, he's not perfect, but he is working toward perfection, and all Christians should be doing that. We know that we were sinners saved by grace, that Jesus cleansed us and made us whole in him. So now our job as Christians is to strive to do those things that not only please the Heavenly Father, but that have been paid for by the blood of Jesus. So we want to continue to look toward the goal, which is to become a mature, victorious, prosperous men and women of God in Jesus. But he cautions us. He says all his energies are bearing on one thing, because Satan is the deceiver, and he does come to condemn, to cause anxiety, worry, stress, to even try to get us to hate ourselves. That's what he's about, killing, stealing, and destroying. So as a Christian, we're going to have to forget the past. That's what this scripture is saying. Now, when he says forget the past, he's not referring to all the things that God has done for us in the past. He's talking about all those negative things that we were involved in, that took place in our lives, that will bring us down. Those are the things that we're going to have to let go and forget. Then he goes on to say in verse 13, and looking forward to what lies ahead. That thing that we're looking forward that lies ahead is the good, is those things that God has provided for us in his word, his covenant promises. Those are the things that we're looking toward and that lies ahead. Because when you apply God's word to your life, when you practice doing the word of God, then only those things that are a blessing, that are prosperous, that are victorious, will come to pass. Because that's what we're applying to our life, the word of God. So that's the key, is that we're going to have to forget the past and move forward in Jesus Christ. We're going to have to forgive ourselves, family, for whatever sins we have committed in the past, and then allow Jesus to give us peace in the matter. Women, you cannot undo the abortion or the rape that occurred while you were drunk. Men, you cannot take back the adulterous affair or the homicide that took place while you were drunk driving. But we can repent and ask Jesus for forgiveness. Then stop making wrong choices and live according to God's word. When we use God's word to grow and be those mature Christians that God has called us to be, we will operate in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Again, we will operate in victory, spirit, soul, and body. So we're going to have to let go of the past. Now we're looking into the past to find out how to move forward in Jesus, but we're not going to go back and repeat anything that went on that was negative. What we're going to do is take a quick look so that we can do a self-examination, find out what areas we need to work on, because every individual has an area that Satan attacks based on our weaknesses, and we need to shore up to fortify us in the Word of God regarding those situations, and then look for the good. Look for the manifestations of God's Word in our lives. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to read one verse, verse number 8. We're continuing to take a look into our past that will help us to understand our present situation. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be careful. Watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for victims to tear apart. He acts like a lion. He is not a lion. Satan is defeated and under our feet. But if we let him, he will steal, kill, and destroy what Jesus has provided for us. And the way we let him is by getting involved in sin, which opens up the door for him to attack us. So don't play his deadly game of sin. Again, we are the ones that have the free will. We can choose to say no, or we can choose to say yes to sin. So if we continue to sin, then Satan has every legal right to come against us because we have opened up the door to let him into our lives. So what we must do, we must first find out how Satan operates, which we did in those first weeks of this teaching. Then we're going to have to find out what the Word of God says, and we've already seen many of those promises in the weeks that preceded this lesson. And then after we find out, we have this knowledge, and we have an understanding, then we can apply God's Word to our lives successfully. That's what that principle was with regards to principle number 3, applying God's Word so that we can not only operate in His Word, but receive the benefits from the Word. That's the key, is to receive the promises that God has given us through His Holy Word. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. We're still looking at our past so that we can find out how we got into our present situation and then make adjustments so that we do not repeat the negative, but that we take God's word and apply it to our future so that we can live that victorious, overcoming life that Jesus paid his life for. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse number 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Amen. Now notice that all of these scriptures are directed to the individual. They're not telling us that God's going to do this on our behalf. God is telling us that we have been empowered, and as a result of that empowerment, we have to say no. We're the ones that are going to have to cast down those imaginations and anything else that tries to raise us up, raise its ugly head up against the Word of God. Let's start at the very top. It says, "For though," in verse number 3, "for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, this war that we're in is a spiritual war. That's what this whole teaching is about. That battle in your mind, that's what's going on in the spirit realm. Satan is attacking the mind, trying to drop in negative thoughts, negative imaginations, so that you can use those thoughts and negative imaginations to do the sin. So we heard, or we studied early on in this teaching, about we're going to have to renew the mind with the Word of God. If you want to be successful in the things of God, then you're going to need to study His Word. Then you're going to need to dwell on His Word. You're going to have to speak on His Word. And then ultimately, you're going to have to act out on the Word of God. So the only way that can happen is if you choose to do so. It's not going to be automatic as a result of you saying yes to Jesus, because Satan's going to come with his devices, which is to infiltrate and drop in doubt and unbelief. That's how he works against the Christian, or anyone else for that matter. But today we're talking about what we Christians need to do so that we can be successful with regards to the Word of God. All right, then in verse number 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Well, these weapons that they're referring to, we studied out in principle number 1, which is our thoughts always precede our actions. And we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, a very extensive passage that deals with, that deals with spiritual warfare. And these armor pieces that are spoken about in this study are those 6 armor pieces, which include the truth, righteousness, peace, faith, God's word, and salvation. These armor pieces that are spoken of in the book of Ephesians are also discussed right here in 2 Corinthians. That's what they're referring to. For the weapons or the armor of God of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. So when we keep our armor on, when we use our armor to combat Satan, that means that we're using the truth, we're operating in righteousness, that we're abiding in the peace of God, that we have the God kind of faith, that we're using the Word of God, and of course that we are saved in Jesus. When we keep this armor on, then Satan has no place in our lives. He has to flee, because we are standing in the covering of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Amen. Then in verse number 5, it says, "Casting down imaginations." Okay, again, we must be the ones to cast them down. Those thoughts that come across our mind, we can't speak out, and we certainly can't act out. Those things that Satan has dropped in, again, you know, that are contrary to God's word. It could be a thought regarding an individual. It could be a thought regarding immoral sex. It could be a thought about whatever. We're the ones that are going to have to cast them down, and we're not going to give them a high place. We're not going to exalt them against the knowledge of God. And the way we exalt them is by speaking them out and then acting on those negative thoughts that Satan is bringing to our mind. We are the ones responsible for bringing them down and washing them with the Word of God. So when a thought arises then that is contrary to God's Word, then you speak God's Word over that situation or that thought, and then operate according to God's Word. That's our job as Christians. And it may seem so very simple, because I'm saying it in a very simplistic way, but it is exactly what God intended. He's not trying to make it difficult for his children. He loves us. He's not trying to put pressure on us for us to come up with some clever way or idea to squash Satan. No, Satan is already defeated. Jesus made sure of that. But we have to put pressure on that spirit realm with our words and our actions. So first our words. We're going to speak God's word over the situation, and then instead of doing the sinful act, we're going to walk away and do what God has called us to do. That's how we operate according to God's word. Again, when we studied out Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, we found out that those armor pieces cannot be taken off. When we take them off, then we open up a door, a way for Satan to come into our lives. And the way we take off this armor is being disobedient to God's word. That's as simple as I can make it. If we want to operate according to God's word, and we want to be successful in the things of God, then we're going to have to obey his word and follow through. Amen. Remember, you have a free will, so exercise your free will to do right. Amen. All right, let's continue. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. And when I give this admonition to our young people, because this is the time, young people, to start setting up good habits of doing what the Word of God tells us to do to keep ourselves safe from Satan's attacks, I was saying that what you do today as a young person, you will set in motion for future success or future defeat. Because bad habits are hard to break. So you want to set in motion good habits, making sure that you keep yourself in line with what God's word says and with what your parents direct you to. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. This is specifically addressed to the children, but this is good word for anyone, even us mature Christians, because we are parents. And some of us still have parents. So we want to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do to honor our seniors. All right, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. Honor your father and mother. This is the first of God's 10 commandments that ends with a promise. Verse 3. And this is the promise, that if you honor your father and mother, yours will be a long life full of blessing. You know, sometimes we think about our family members, you know, maybe even schoolmates, somebody's family that you know where a young person is murdered or dies and left this earth realm way before age 70. We see it all the time, young people dying, killing one another, or being killed. And we wonder, well, what is going on? Why is this happening? What can we do to stop young people from dying way before age 70? And if you would look into the life, I'm not putting a blame on any one individual. I'm just talking about the principle that God is referring to in this verse. And he says, children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. And then it goes on to say, when we honor our parents and we do what is right, then we're going to have a long life full of blessing. So children, young people, young adults, pay attention. Sow good seed now so that you can continue to live a long and prosperous life. This is what we need to teach our children. Unfortunately, we have too many children having children, and they're not prepared to be an example to their little ones. So that is a result of us failing our young people. We have to continue to train them up according to God's word so they can be successful through their teens, through their young adult life, through maturity. That's our job as parents, aunts and uncles, as guardians. We're the ones that train up the next generation. That's why it's so important, and it's in my heart to minister to the youth, because I know many of our young people do not have godly parents in their lives. Many of them are incarcerated. Many of them are involved in illegal activity. They're not loving on their children. They're abusing, so forth and so on. So we need to make sure that we, those of us that know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, who have family members who are lacking a parent or both parents, that we extend the grace of God to them and love on them and encourage them and teach them when we can, because we don't have full control over other individuals, but we can live out our lives before them in a godly manner so they can see that truly there is a benefit for living according to the Word of God. And it is awesome in Jesus. Now, here's a caution, young people, because you may have a parent that does not know Christ, and as a result, they're not living godly. So when we say honor your parents, we're really talking about honoring your parents that are in the Lord. We're not talking about parents that want to train you how to get involved in stealing, killing, and destroying. We're talking about parents who love the Lord and love their children. They're put in place in the family to help raise, train, and protect the young ones. So your duty as a young person is not to listen to your friends, not to listen to the people down the block, but to pay close attention to what your parents are sharing about the love of Jesus, and then apply that word to your life so that you can live out a long and blessed life in Christ. Amen. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are out of time, but we will continue with our study next Wednesday. Please continue to listen in. We're going to finish up principle number 4 next time we're together on the battle in your mind, keeping sexually pure.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.